Welcome to Dead Man's Party. Nostalgic reviews from the 70s, 80s, and 90s. With your hosts, Chris, Alex,
and the ghoul under your bed.
Who could ask for more? Don't run away, it's only them.
Here we are. It is Dead Man's Party, and we are here in the concrete jungle, LA, and we are reviewing Predator 2, 1990. We all know how much you loved our Predator review, so we're gonna. We didn't review Predator, and we're reviewing Predator 2. Oh my god. I think we're the first podcast in history to do that. In any event. I'm here with the guy who got his arm cut off. He's cauterizing it in an old woman's bathroom. Chris, what's up, Chris?
Hello, Alex. How are you today?
Oh, really good. This movie's so good, I could review this twice in a row if need be. And we are here with the guy who picked Predator 2, the guy who just got his ball squeezed by a cute little Spanish girl, the ghoul under your bed. Pat, what's up, man?
Want some candy?
Oh, fucking hell, dude. We'll get there.
Wow. So Predator 2, 1990, director Stephen Hopkins, written by Jim Thomas and John Thomas, starring Danny Glover, Gary Busey, Kevin Peter Hall returns as the Predator, Ruben Blades, Maria Conchita, Bill Paxton, Robert Davi, who's certainly not wasted in this movie, Adam Baldwin, Kent McCord, Morton Downey Jr., and Lillian Chauvin, who is Mother Superior in
Silent Night, Deadly Night. And you know what else Kevin Peter Hall was in? Harry and the Hendersons. Did you ever see that? The Bigfoot movie? He played Bigfoot, yeah.
I did know that.
That is a movie I watched a billion fucking times when I was growing up.
That's weird. All right, so we're reviewing Predator 2. So this movie was directed by the same guy who directed Nightmare on Elm Street 5.
The best one out of that franchise.
Yeah, once you saw that, it was like, we need this guy.
The dream child. Get the fuck out of here.
Now, Pat, you picked this movie to review. This is the one you wanted to review. Now, is this your favorite Predator movie?
You fucking know it.
What?
This is my favorite Predator movie. Yeah, absolutely. Fuck yeah. Love this fucking movie. Best Predator movie there is. Get the fuck out of here if you say otherwise.
And why exactly do you put it over the first one?
Because the Predator series itself has the distinct feature of you could put the Predator in any fucking setting. The first one, the jungle. The second one, the city. Predators. Put them on their own planet, whatever. You could put this motherfucker anywhere, anytime. Works. But Predator 2 has a feeling about it. Maybe it's because of the time I saw it, whatever, but it is my favorite one. And one Mel Gibson short of being a Lethal Weapon versus Predator.
Chris, when you say Danny Glover really seems like he's Murtaugh from Lethal Weapon?
This is Predator 2 starring Roger Murtaugh from Lethal Weapon. Sans mustache. That's the only fucking difference. He does not have a mustache in this movie. Everything else is absolutely identical from that character from that performance in Lethal Weapon. Same guy, same character. The one-liners, his attitude, everything.
I mean, we're just I'm too old for this shit away from being Lethal Weapon 3.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, I heard they wanted to hire Mel Gibson for this, but he was telling a cop... Never mind, I'm not going to go there.
Sugar tits?
Where is this going?
I know, yeah. He was too busy telling a woman.
You should just fucking smile and blow me! Because I deserve it!
But, so that's why he couldn't make it. They were also going to hire Arnold Schwarzenegger to be in this movie. A lot of people wonder why. And the reason this movie gets bashed most of the time is people say, you know, Arnold's not in it. You can't have a Predator without Arnold. That's like having a Terminator without Arnold.
Was he going to be in it with Danny Glover or in that role?
No, in that role he was going to be. But he passed it up to do, let me see.
Junior?
No, Terminator 2.
What?
Yep.
What is that?
I don't know. He should fire his agent because he would have been a megastar.
Terminator 2?
Yeah, can you imagine doing a sequel instead of doing this movie?
Alex, yep. What did I give Terminator 2 out of 5?
I believe a 1.
Yep.
But everyone knew to dismiss that.
That's fucking wild.
Luckily, none of our listeners even heard that show yet, because it's still sitting in my folder here. I'm still reluctant to release that show, but maybe I should let them all see what a total buffoon you are and let everyone hear that review, but I'm still trying to just forget it exists. But, yeah, nobody else even remembered you said that, because it was totally ridiculous. But, yeah, so his agent should be fired. I mean, to do a sequel instead of doing this movie, and especially that sequel, is just absolutely the stupidest decision ever from Arnold. Shame on you. You could have been a huge action star. But luckily, we have Gary Busey and Robert Davi rounding out the cast and Bill Paxton. So that more than made up for Arnold not being here.
I didn't know Gary Busey was in this.
Oh, I'm sorry, Nick Nolte.
Okay. Oh, yeah. Okay, yeah.
So dumb. Oh, God. If people only knew.
So, yeah, it's 48 hours 3, Predator 2.
Yeah, it should be 48 hours 3, colon, Predator 2. So, this movie's a huge step down from the first one, but, you know, a lot of people feel that way, except for the people on this podcast.
Just call me out, buddy.
I'm just kidding. No, I will say this. I did not get into this movie, and you're going to hate me for this. I didn't really even... I might have watched it back then. I might have. I do have a weird memory of watching this when it came out. But beyond that, I didn't watch it again until I got the 4K box set for Predator movies. So the original Predator writer wrote this movie. It's set in 1997. Like we said, Peter Hall came back to play the Predator. Now, what do you guys feel about Bill Paxton coming in here and basically being the same character he was in Aliens?
Yes, he is Hudson. He is fucking awesome in my eyes. I even like the wisecracks or like whatever, but also just his final stand in that train scene, which I'm sure we'll get to. Yeah, he steps up. Bill Paxton is a fucking ace in this movie.
Wow. See, I wasn't crazy about the writing for him or his delivery. I felt he was a little bit of a caricature of himself.
Absolutely. No, absolutely. But I
well,
think it
coming off of, well, I shouldn't say coming off of Aliens because that came out 4 years prior to this. This, to me, almost just felt like a little bit of a less abrasive version of his character in Aliens as far as just like being the obnoxious smartass.
Yeah. You took Hudson from Aliens, which is his character, and then just added, like, a little more badassness to it. But that scene that he's in is exceptional.
This movie, he wins the trifecta.
Explain.
At this point, he's killed by the Terminator, Alien, and Predator.
Which I have...
And he was also turned into a turd by Kelly LeBrock in Weird Science. So, that's the Mount Rushmore right there, bitch.
I have a problem because, like, he wasn't explicitly killed by the Terminator. The Terminator just punched him.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like, if you look at that, like, he just punches him back, and he's like, I don't know, he doesn't kill him. But, I mean, it's just, like, obviously now, because he's obviously passed away, it's just cool to say he's you know, done the trifecta, which is fine. It's whatever. But, like, I'm like, don't. I also, just because I love the guy, so I'm like, don't fucking, like, do him dirty. Don't be like, ah, he got killed by. Like, no, he didn't get killed by the Terminator. He got punched.
I never even knew that, to call that out. I never even thought about that.
You can find a scene on YouTube. Watch the scene where the Terminator meets those guys. He doesn't kill him. He just punches him.
You know, it's funny you say that. As I'm saying this, because everybody knows that about him, I was trying to picture it in my head, and I couldn't even picture him getting killed by the Terminator. He punches through the bad guy in Cobra, right?
Yes.
His hand goes through him, and he rips it out, and Arnold's hand is all dark and bloody.
Cobra?
The Night Slasher.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that guy was killed by the Terminator.
Oh, was he? Okay.
And he's also killed by Rocky. So we're actually going somewhere with him, too.
Jesus fucking Christ.
he was killed by Commando, Rocky. No, never mind. It's all the same guy. It doesn't count like that.
Yes.
Oh.
So, yeah, that's... Okay, so he wasn't. All right. Well, there goes that. Thanks, Pat. So, we have Point Breaks, one of the stars there, Gary Busey. Now, talk about, we keep listing things off. He was in Point Break, Lethal Weapon, Under Siege, Predator 2. Like, his career was kind of on fire at this point.
Well, yeah, he was also in Silver Bullet, which he was just like, it's nice to see him as a good guy.
That was my first exposure to him, was Silver Bullet, where he just plays like a normal, you know, he's the uncle, he's a nice guy.
The cool uncle.
Oh, absolutely. But then he starts showing up, I guess Lethal Weapon would have been his next, like, big role as Mr. Joshua.
Yep.
And then he shows up in Predator 2, Point Break, Under Siege. So, yeah, he was on fire there for a while, dude.
And he wasn't a bad guy usually, though. If you go with Silver Bullet, then Point Break, and then this movie, he's an irritant to Danny Glover because he's wondering, you know, that's the old trope in these movies, these action movies, how, especially if it's a cop movie, how, like, the main character wants to be on this case, and then the FBI wants to take it over. I mean, how many times have we seen something like this?
Yeah, like, his character is technically mistaken. Like, he technically has good intentions, but also at the same time, he's, like, almost like your Burke in Aliens, is that he's there for nefarious reasons. Like, there for the creature. He doesn't give a fuck if, like, the rest of the cops get involved and get fucking killed, as we've seen.
Right, so he's not a bad guy. He just had to stop you from doing this because they know that it's the alien.
He's just doing his job, really.
Right, and that's interesting, and I liked that turn of his character at that point. But then it was weird because, I hate to jump around on Chris, but the one weird part is when he goes, hey, he could see you guys, blah, 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 and then he goes, what? Who is this? Clear the line. And it's like, wait a minute, are you listening? Who cares who's saying it, right? Some guy is telling you the alien that murdered everybody, and you know everything about the Arnold thing, he could see you, and you think you're in an invisible cloak.
Well, that's what I think is the my, like, gripe with this whole movie, despite that I love it, is that their base of operations is in a frozen meat locker, even though in the first movie they talk about it being, this thing is hot-blooded, it seeks out heat. Why the fuck would it make its base in a fucking meat locker? What the fuck?
Maybe it wanted to practice boxing.
I was going to say, where was Polly? I thought that was his meat plant. It stinks in here! You stink!
Yeah. No, that's the one thing that I'm like with this movie. I'm like, I don't fucking get that. Because then, like, the final set piece that they try to make it is the meat locker. I'm like, it's cold there. Why would he go there when the first movie explicitly, he's a hot-blooded killer.
And yeah, he's in a fucking tropical jungle.
Does the same thing. They're like, yeah, no, he's the hot-blooded killer, like, whatever. I'm like, what the fuck? Why are you tracking him to a fucking frozen meat locker? What the hell?
Yeah. How did you guys feel putting him in the city, in the concrete jungle?
I thought it was fucking awesome. It's like a fish out of water type thing. It almost seemed very natural in the first one when he was in the jungle, you know, just because he's like this fucking, I don't know, monster.
Yeah, it seems like he belongs there.
Blended in perfectly with the trees and all that shit. And not that he doesn't camouflage his stuff in this one, but still, it just, seeing it in a completely different setting was awesome, I thought.
Right.
Yep, absolutely. I agree with that. It's like the fish out of water thing is a perfect example. It's like, if you look at this predator as he's like a young blood, like he's just getting his start and he's just doing his thing in the city, and clearly he's fucking up because he's killing like this, that, the other thing. So the lost tribe that's there at the end comes in to be like, oh yeah, we expect this. You kind of get that vibe from them.
Yeah, it's kind of like they actually successfully did in this movie what Friday the 13th Part 8 wanted to by calling it Jason Takes Manhattan. But in that movie, Jason showed up in Manhattan just in time for the closing credits to hit.
Absolutely.
Whereas in this movie,
yeah,
get Alex showed up.
Yeah. It doesn't stop.
Yeah, no, but I love that. Like, it's like I like to think of it as like this young blood, like new hunter trying out his thing, but he's in a fucking environment that he's not fucking familiar with. He fucks up. He gets fucked over. So,
right.
How do you feel that the humor of the city aspect when he ends up in that woman's bathroom and then he busts through the door and then like the other door and he just keeps making the frames bigger by taking them with him?
That's fucking fantastic. He's in that bathroom. He punches a hole through the wall, just grabs a handful of like plaster and ceramic tile, pours like some fucking ectoplasma on it, makes this goop to spread on his, you know, his stump arm and his wounds. And then he busts out of the bathroom and there's fucking Mrs. Elrod from Halloween 2 just standing there. And then he goes to the fucking front door of the apartment and just literally knocks it off the fucking wall. Just goes right through it. It's great.
It's amazing. I love like when the it's like Harrigan jumps through and he's like, where'd he go? And she's like, I don't think he gives a shit.
Yeah,
dude, that is legit Mrs. Elrod from Halloween 2, Alex.
That's awesome.
yeah, this movie hits the ground running with that opening scene with the shootout with the Colombians and the Jamaicans, and you get these that was a good action scene. It was a great way to open up the movie, and then you get the Terminator kills and all that. You see the bodies hanging and brings you back to part one. But I prefer the action death sequence in the apartment when the chick is riding the dude and the opening scene of that. And then he kills everybody in there.
All the voodoo guys.
Yeah, the Jamaicans.
Really?
Well, all I can think about in that scene is like, why hasn't some chick ever ridden me like that? Like, she is like a fucking wild animal, dude. It's just thrashing back and forth. But no, it's awesome because he shows up, kills all of them, and then the cops, you know, show up and they see them all strung up and they don't know what to make of it because there's no bullet holes or anything like that, but they're just all slaughtered.
Yeah, because he uses the fucking spear, the net. This is where you see all like the Predator's extra technology come out, which is cool.
Yeah, that disc or whatever.
Yeah,
that fucking metal that razor frisbee he was throwing around or whatever the hell it is.
Because like that's like my favorite scene from this movie is the train scene, obviously. But no, that like penthouse Jamaican scene is like nuts.
Yeah.
He kills the guy with the fucking net, which is insane.
Yeah, I like the net kill.
Yeah, the net's awesome. It just cuts through that guy. I like in that scene after in the scene where she's riding that guy and then they all show up. One of those Jamaican guys, it was like his goal literally to shoot out every fucking window in that apartment. That's all he was doing was like blowing the fucking windows out.
Fucking voodoo magic, man.
Yeah.
Yeah. So let's get to the train moment. So a lot of people cite this as one of the greatest action movie scenes.
Do they really? Are you serious?
Yeah.
I'm a strong proponent of that.
Right, they do, because the Predator on top of the train, you got the gang or whatever that was in the train picking on people, you got normal people, and you have all the cops.
Well, so you have the normal people who have guns, because, like, L.A. 97 is terrible, so they have guns. The gang members who also have guns, and then you have Bill Paxton and Maria Conchita Alonso, who are the two cops, who are just there by circumstance. One of the guys is, like, fucking pestering another civilian, whatever, and then they all pull out guns, and then all of a sudden the Predator's on top, and he fucking cuts the lights, and then that's when it turns into, like, the fucking darkness final train car massacre, which is fucking awesome.
Now, how do you compare this to the Texas Chainsaw 2022 when he killed all those kids on the bus?
The bus scene? Holy shit.
You know what?
I don't know what either of your guys' thoughts are on that 2022 Chainsaw. I thought it was fucking awesome, and I thought that whole scene on the bus was incredible, just because he butchered them like fucking hogs, dude. No, I'm serious. Now, I love that franchise, except for part four is horrible. But I thought that movie was really, really good, and I thought that scene was like the standout scene in the movie, because I always hear people like, oh yeah, those people are so unlikable with their phones, and I was like, well, that's the fucking point. They wanted you to hate those kids, so when he slaughters them, you're almost rooting for Leatherface.
Chris, I am 100% with you on everything you just said.
Yeah, dude, absolutely.
Yeah, people don't get it. They call it a woke movie, but you... No. We want to see the woke guys get killed.
Yeah, they were putting woke shit in that movie, so when Leatherface killed them, you liked what was happening on screen. Absolutely. So anyway, back to this movie. Yeah, so on the subway scene, you know, Predator, you know, he's on the roof of the subway, you bust through it, chaos ensues, he's killing people left and right, and then a Paxton sees him and just starts fucking unloading on him with that gun. Runs out of bullets, and he goes, Jesus Christ, what the fuck are you? Then he pulls out, like, I don't know, a sword or, like, a big knife or something.
Pulls out a gun.
Says, come on, motherfucker! Oh. And then, for some reason, as many times as I've seen this movie, which, back in the 90s, when I was a teenager, I saw this movie a lot, okay? Like, a lot. I had it on tape. It was on HBO all the time, so I watched it a lot. But over the last, like, let's say 20 years, I've probably only seen this a couple times. So when it cuts to the Predator coming towards him and the Predator plays that little audio clip of the kid saying, want some candy? Dude, I thought that was, like, almost, like, legit creepy. Like, so I could see how some people would look at that and say, oh, that's stupid. I thought it was bad fucking ass this time I watched it.
Absolutely, I agree. Yeah, no, that scene with, like, Paxton, like, showing off, because, like, he basically recreates his scene from Aliens where he's, like, final showdown, just blasting his gun. Like, it's, like, a little thing that I love. He fucking unloads on the thing, and then all of a sudden he reloads, and he puts a fucking magazine into his gun, and he's like, yeah. It's just, like, one of those things, like, just it's fucking cool as shit. But no, you're absolutely right. Like the Predator going, like, want some candy?
Yeah, there was something about the way that little clip of that kid saying it, but it was like mechanized sounding almost, you know, because the Predator was playing it through his whatever his
recording
fuck it is.
Thing.
His recording thing. It was so creepy as it showed the Predator like crawling towards Paxton, and it played that.
Yeah, it's almost like he's. I agree with the
like fucking with him almost.
That's what I mean, because he, like, knows, like, he's like, oh, I can kill this fucking guy. Like, and so he's like,
right.
Let me just, you know, pull this out.
And Paxton goes, let's dance! And then that's it.
Boom. Done.
It's over, man! It's over! I wish he said to the Predator, now make yourself one, dickweed.
Dickweed?
Do you know what that is, Ghoul?
Yeah, that's weird science.
Oh, good.
Dude. Okay. This Ghoul kid, he knows his shit for being 29 years old.
Like I said, I know my stuff.
Well, hang on, we can't skip over the King Willy scene in the alleyway.
Oh, true.
I mean, I thought that was like, when I first saw this movie as a kid, I thought King Willy was going to be like, well, you know, one of the main fucking guys of this movie, but he just gets offed in like 2 minutes.
That was almost not good because
it was misleading. Yeah.
Yeah, he had a lot of charisma and stuff, and I thought, oh wow, look at that. He's willing to meet up with people and they're getting in the car and meeting them, and then he's just dead in 5 seconds.
Yeah, he just gets fucking wasted.
Well, the best part is too, like how they like frame his death. He's like, they show him screaming, and then the next shot is his head, like his decapitated head
looks like it's screaming.
Yeah, exactly. It's like just such an absurd fucking thing.
Yeah, it would have been cooler if he bowled his head down the alley and he knocked over a garbage can.
like sounds.
Holy shit.
No, what he should have done was take him up to a roof and get into a fist fight with him, and then King really punch him a bunch, and then he was like, God, he punches his head off into a dumpster.
Take your best shot, man. Yeah. It goes wham. Iree. Oh, God. Yeah, that was great. Little Willy. We find out Gary Busey just knows that he's an alien. He references the first movie, which I got little chills from. Like, wow, he's talking about Arnold and his crew. Wow, it's cool.
Yeah, I thought that was cool that they actually acknowledged the first movie in the canon of this film.
Yeah, and even acknowledged Anna, that she survived with Arnold.
Right.
Shows up on screen in one of their little screens.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. Really? I didn't notice that.
Yeah, no, if you look at it in like one of their little monitors, she's the only one who actually shows up on screen.
Huh. I guess Arnold said, fuck no.
That was how they like tried to canonize it.
Yeah. Well, they do that, and then so Gary Busey puts the suit on so that you can't see, the Predator can't see him because it's all cold. It's like an invisible cloak because they realize that he sees heat and all this stuff. Which I don't know how they would Arnold figured that. Yeah, he told them because of the mud thing he did. So then they go in. They think they have it all figured out. Danny Glover gets on the microphone and he's like, hey, he could see you. He could see you, motherfuckers. And the guy goes, huh? What? Who is this? What? Clear the line. And it's like, why is Gary Busey saying that when he should be saying, wow, he could? Are you sure? Let's get the fuck out of here. Like, clear the line. Like, dude, you're gonna die. The Predator can see you. It's just like you're walking into a normal room with them now. You're dead. And he doesn't even get it. And this guy starts killing off all of his men. Somehow Gary Busey lives. And then it's not till the 40... We're at the 30-minute mark left of the movie. Till it's the one-on-one Glover versus Predator battle. So there's 30 minutes to go at this point.
A lot. It's too much.
It is, right? Because when Arnold went against him, it was different because, well, he killed the one guy, then he was chasing him through the jungle, then Arnold fell off the waterfall, then lands in the water, then the Predator's looking for him. He hides, he gets the mud on him, he's looking, he can't see Arnold in the mud, then he disappears, then Arnold spends like the next amount of time preparing, like Home Alone, preparing the jungle with all these traps and all this stuff, and he's doing all that, and it seems like it's a good use of time. But in this movie, it seems like there's no way that if it was just this regular guy battling the Predator that it would go on this long. It wouldn't be feasible in any way.
Well, that's what I mean when I say, like, it should have ended, like, the final act of this movie should have been in the meat packing plant, whatever the fuck you want to call it. Because then he chases the thing up to the roof, fights with it on the side, cuts its arm off, and then he climbs a pole to get the thing, which leads to the elevator shaft, which leads to the fucking ship. It's just, I don't know.
It's one too many things.
Yeah, it's like, it's too much.
And so they throw some one-liners in there, like Danny Glover says, okay, pussy face, it's your move.
Yes.
It's like, really? What do you say that? But then, if you really look at it, Predator does have a pussy face, because when he opens his mouth, spreads it open, those fucking jaw things, it looks like a pussy.
Oh, yeah, I was getting hard, dude.
No, like, legit, dude. That's what it looks like.
100%. No, you're not wrong.
Yeah, the ghoul's reaching for his rubber in his back pocket.
Whoa, I just got these jeans out of the laundry. Are they? Whoa.
And the predator goes, shit happens.
Yeah.
He's just like, take it.
And did they also, like, steal the you are one ugly motherfucker line?
Oh, yeah, that was a total callback to the first movie, because yeah. Danny Glover says, you are one ugly mother, and then the Predator says, fucker.
Yeah.
And then falls down and smashes into Mrs. Elrod's bathroom and all that shit happens.
When Arnold went against the Predator in his movie, you know, Arnold's this big, gigantic monster of a guy himself, and when he's going against the Predator, it seems different than, like, when a regular guy, which is all that Danny Glover is, like just a total normal person going against the Predator, it kind of seems like the stakes are higher, like there's more risk of dying here.
Well, yeah, because in the first movie, you have Schwarzenegger, who is this fucking almost like living, breathing superhero. So when he's going against the Predator, it's like you have these two supreme beings of these two different races. It's like alpha versus alpha. And then it's just like, okay, let's fucking go. Let's see what happens. But in this one, you know, Danny Glover, he's just a cop, man. He's just a fucking feet on the ground, fucking, you know, blue collar cop. And it's like, well, what can he fucking do against the Predator? Well, he actually does pretty good.
Considering, yeah.
Yeah, considering what he is, yeah.
I think that him stealing that disc chopper was a big, big plus.
Oh, and yeah. I didn't realize till this time that I watched it how many times that fucking thing came into play.
Yeah, he keeps using it.
Yeah. Once he took it from him.
In any other movie, like, whenever there's a really cool weapon, they do it, like, once, and then they just throw it off to the side.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. Like, okay, yeah, he cuts his hand off with it, cool, but then it's like he holds on to it for the rest of the fucking movie after that happens. It's like, really? You're not going to drop this thing?
It's even the determining factor of the end fight.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So, Ghoul, how do you feel about the end battle inside the ship?
So the end battle of the ship is, like, I love it just because, like, I love the shot of the whole, all the skulls that whatever Predator has collected. You see the alien skull, whatever. You see this, that, the other thing. Like you said, like, with the disc, he just fucks him up immediately. It's not like a final battle. It's like this Predator, who has been so relentless this entire movie, decides to be slow. And then Danny Glover's like, and just cuts him with the fucking disc, which is fine by me, it's whatever, but, like, as far as, like, everything they've been building towards, it's a tough climax. So
yeah, it's almost like a cheat, almost as anticlimactic as Shredder versus Splinter in that original Ninja Turtle movie, but obviously there's more here and they actually did battle. But yeah, just that moment kind of feels like that much of an abbreviated thing.
So, yeah, I don't know what your guys' thoughts are on the final scene when they're actually in the Predator's spaceship or whatever the fuck it is. Once he gets down there, are you guys Star Wars fans at all?
Enough to know what you're going to say, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, why don't you tell me what I'm going to say?
I'm just saying, any reference you come up with, I'm sure I'll recall it.
So once he falls down into the Predator's lair, all I can think of was from Return of the Jedi, when Luke goes down, when he's at Jabba the Hutt's palace, and he gets shot down into the Rancor Beast's pit underneath Jabba's thing, and he has to fight the fucking Rancor monster.
Yeah.
That's all I can, because that's just what the whole aesthetic of that reminded me of, like on the walls and all that shit.
Like in the belly of the beast kind of thing?
Yeah, exactly. And then you look on the walls, and I know, Ghoul, you mentioned something about this earlier. So, they've got skulls. It looks like a fucking dinosaur skull, and then the fucking xenomorph skull from Alien. Do you have something to say about that?
Yeah, no, that's pretty tight. Like, I love that it's, like, the pre, like, versus thing, like the...
Okay, yeah, exactly. It's like, okay, so these things have existed together, and the Predator has defeated this thing already.
Yes.
Because they're showing the skull on the wall.
He's so strong, and other things he does, I don't even think Arnold would actually beat him, let alone Danny Glover.
That fist fight they have, like, he should be dead.
Yeah, Arnold didn't have that fucking razor blade frisbee or whatever the fuck it is that Danny Glover carries around for the last 20 minutes of the fucking movie.
Yeah, what's really weird is at the end of the movie, when Danny Glover doesn't need that thing anymore, he throws it and a dog catches it.
Jesus.
Oh, shit.
And he catches like a frisbee and it cuts his head off. It cuts the top of his head off.
He actually does, like, when all the other guys, like, show up, he throws the thing to the ground and then goes, okay, who's next?
Yeah.
Wouldn't you keep that?
That is a great, great line. Oh, those predators show up, you know, they're camouflaged and they slowly appear one by one out of thin air. And he's looking around like, well, I'm fucked.
Right. I think he knew he was fucked. That's the reason he did that.
The crazy part is, though, imagine this, like, you think about it. Those fucking 12 assholes were there the entire time that this predator was, the other predator was running.
How come he didn't trip over them while he was fighting with the guy? Can you imagine you just kept running into him? It was like, whoa, what?
Have you guys seen the behind the scenes of that with Danny Glover and all those guys as the predators doing the predator dance? Have you guys seen that video?
No, is it like on the bonus features or something?
It's on the bonus features, but it's on YouTube too. It is.
Oh, okay, I'll watch it.
Holy shit, because I think they got a bunch of NBA players at the time to actually, like, be in the Predator costumes. So they, like, just did, like, it's just, you get to look up just, like, the Predator 2 Predator dance. Look it up on YouTube.
Wow, NBA players from 1990, wow.
Oh, yeah, Rodman, Barkley.
Scottie
Pippen was there.
Yeah, it's wild.
So dumb. Thank God you're Scottie Pippen. That worked out good.
Awesome.
Oh,
and we found out that the predator doesn't kill pregnant Hispanic chicks.
Yes.
So that's good. My wife would be safe.
And then they throw him a fucking gun from the Old West. He's like, take it, and throws it to him, and it says 1715 on it. Yeah. And I think it said Marty McFly in scripted. So that sets up Back to the Future Part 3 perfectly. Because it shows they were in the Old West at the same time Marty McFly was.
Boom. Crossover. Here we go.
Wow, we have another crossover coming up, guys. I can't wait till we get to that
one. Back to the Future 3, Predator 3.
They retconned, too, because they had a comic about it. And then Prey retconned it. So they already fucked themselves over that. I'm excited because they announced a new one next year, I think, called Badlands.
Okay, yeah. And that might take place in the West?
Yeah, as I say, the West seems like a... I mean, that's the beauty of the Predator movies. Like, you can take them and put them anywhere. Like, you put them in feudal Japan, you can put them in the Old West, you can put them in... put them anywhere.
Yep. And I'm a fan of Predator movies. I like almost all of them. And, like, I'm not...
Like, people, like, hate on this Predator 2. It's like, no, it makes sense. Like, just because at the time sequels were popular, everyone was like, oh, whatever. I'm like, no, it's like, didn't have to be Alien to Aliens. Like, it still fucking worked, you know?
Yeah, it's my second favorite one in this whole franchise. Behind only The Predator from 2018.
Yeah, okay. Right. Yeah, so that was Predator 2, 1990. How many Jamaican heads are you rolling down an alley out of five? For this one, Chris.
Oh, I will give this 3.5 Jamaican heads out of 5, although the dreadlocks may slow it down a little bit, so you may give it a 3.25 if you want to be technical. But it's fun. It is what it is, man. It's not the first one, but it's not trying to be. It's in a completely different setting. It hits all the marks for, you know, I was going to say 80s action movies, even though this came out in 90, but this is still obviously a direct continuation of 80s action films at the time. And it's fun. I like it.
Right. The ghoul into your bed. How many Jamaican heads are you giving this one out of five?
You guys, this is a fucking 5 out of 5 for me.
Nice.
Awesome. I really fucking love this movie. It is brutal to begin with, so it's got the cover there for gore, violence, that kind of shit. But it's also, like, as far as continuations go, follows up just enough to connect to the original and then just enough to be its own thing. And it's just a fun fucking movie. So yeah, 5 out of 5 for me. Fuck yeah, Predator 2. Let's fucking go.
Nice. Yeah, I roll 3.5 Jamaican heads down an alley for this one. This is a solid sequel, but it's just, it's not one of the sequels that are far superior to the original, like Camp Out Nightmare 6 is.
I desperately need more Camp Out Nightmare in my life.
Have you seen part 6?
I saw it, but it's got taken down, so I can't watch it anymore.
No. They're, Alex, send him the link.
We have a secret link now that my...
I love watching trash fires.
Oh, it's the king of them, so yeah.
Ghoul, have you seen the 25th anniversary cut? You have to see the new cut. The first 5 minutes are absolutely fucking golden.
Mind-blowing, yeah.
It is 6:41 p.m. right now. I have several hours left of my Saturday night. I need this.
Send okay. it, Alex, send it to him now.
I will send it right now.
Jim Hyde Sr. in the first 5 minutes of this movie will blow your mind with his karate moves.
Well, he will, but I want you to watch the whole thing. I revamped this whole entire thing.
No, I believe it. But I also love your guys' commentary just because it's fucking hilarious.
Yeah, I wish it was up.
I know, what the fuck?
I don't have my wife anymore.
Sorry, hold on.
That shit is my wife and my kid.
make sure you shoot it to your TV.
Yeah, just got a new TV. There we go.
There you go. Christen it with this piece of shit.
Hell fucking yes. Let's go. Thank you.
Well, I was going to say we have to review that, but you've already done it, so.
And hey, I'll do it again. I don't care.
Just review people every time. Like,
dude, that.
On it.
Yeah, I'll keep doing it.
Could be like a 3-hour review right there.
Oh, I'll keep reviewing it. I don't care.
That shit is fucking out of control. I love it.
We'll review it if you want. Just listen to my other one and then just try to take notes around that.
Oh, I've listened to your other one plenty of times. A very good show.
It's who everyone else is telling you. What's the line, Alex? When he's like, it's who everyone else
it's
is.
It's who everyone's been telling you who it is. It's me.
It's me.
It's me. Supposedly Thorn. Oh, God.
Oh, my God.
That was probably my favorite show to ever do. That one and the commentary. That made bringing back the Skeleton Crew in 2023 worth it alone.
Yeah, so I watched that movie and then the commentary and then just the audio review. You all did an audio review of that, right?
Yeah, yep.
I did all that within like the span of a week or two. And I just got fucking obsessed with that thing.
And he didn't even like it in the first watch.
No, the first time I watched it, I was like, what is this piece of shit? But then after I watched it with their commentary and then just the normal audio review, and then I watched it again, I was like, okay, this is like some other fucking planet.
He thought it was a stupid waste of time in the beginning, and then all of a sudden he was like, oh my God.
That's the whole reason I'm on this podcast right now, is because he sucked me into that Camp Out Nightmare 6 world.
That's amazing. I love that. That's what you get, you fucking bitch. I love how he couldn't fucking get the lines out. Why don't you
why don't you move your fat fucking legs? Yeah, he cracked himself up so much with that one that he couldn't get his next line out.
Oh my God.
He fucked the line up 3 times and still went for it, and they kept it in.
Or when that one scene when Michael J. played Thorn.
Yeah.
In the when he got
in the bathroom.
Yeah, the bathroom scene.
can't you do it yourself? No, can you do it? Take the mask off. It's not Halloween.
The sad part is, though, as much as I laughed at this, as how terrible it is, when in that audio review, when you were like, yeah, these people like are dead. And I was like, oh, shit.
Yeah.
I laughed.
So many are dead. And the weird thing is, the main killer is going to be dead soon. I don't hate to say it that way, but he's had 2 heart attacks already or something.
Yeah.
Yeah, he's not doing good. He might be gone now, for all I know. I don't talk to Mike anymore, but he might be gone.
R.I.P. the goat.
Yeah. So, yeah, that was Predator 2.
Yeah, keep all that in the Predator 2 review.
Yeah, we can talk about this off air. Predator 2, guys, yeah. Check it out if you haven't. It's definitely, it's a movie that aged better, I'll say. It's one of those movies that age well, because movies, action movies, have been so crappy in the last whatever years that looking back at something like this is actually, it actually is like, let me just rediscover things I kind of brushed off in the past for whatever reason. Arnold's not in it, or this or that, the other reason. Let me go ahead and rediscover those and see what I think, and you'll begin to like have a better appreciation for these types of movies.
Alex, what did you give this?
A 3.5.
Oh, okay, good, okay.
So, see you next week.